This is Matt Wells at UN News. International migration has been with us forever, and a safe and orderly means of facilitating it is in everybody's interests, said a senior United Nations official. As the final round of negotiations on a global compact for safe, orderly and regular migration took place at UN headquarters in New York, Louise Arbour said on Wednesday that migration should not be seen in terms of good or bad, but as a phenomenon that's been part of human history with immense benefits if well handled. Ms. Arbour, the Special Representative of the Secretary-General on International Migration, explained to Omar Musni the impact the Global Compact could have throughout the world.
I think the first thing we have to keep in mind is that even though I think it's fair to say that the impetus for the launching of this process in the UN was very much the crisis in 2015 in Europe, and particularly not exclusively from the Mediterranean. Early on were mixed flows of refugees and migrants coming through the Balkans and through Greece and so on. But the process has yielded an approach that is truly global, that is forward-looking. So it is not aimed at providing answers that, frankly, some regions are struggling to come up with in the short term, in the sort of management of their current challenges. I think the compact will help enlighten different approaches to these crises, but it is essentially an agreement by member states to cooperate with a long-term vision on how to better harness the benefits of human mobility and how to mitigate its challenges. So they are struggling in dealing with flows of people in sometimes irregular situations in transit countries that are very poorly equipped to deal with this. I hope that the compact will start providing ideas of ways of dealing with this, but its aim is really not designed to specifically try to provide these immediate answers. A lot of the objectives in the compact are actually relatively short-term, but many are looking way over the horizon in the way that I've described before. And I should just add that the question of detention of migrants generally, of migrant children, has been very prominently featured in the negotiations. There's a lot of concerns about the inappropriateness of detaining people on the move in circumstances where, in fact, the detention increases their vulnerabilities rather than assisting them.
Further to that, even while these negotiations have been taking place, we've seen rising anti-migrant public discourse in some countries. How might that affect the prospects for adoption of the compact, and how might the compact help to reverse these anti-migrant sentiments?
In fact, I think the latter is more the case. I think the 18 months or so of consultations and now negotiations have already come a long way, at least in this community, which is, it's essentially a community of experts on migrations and the political voice of governments. I mean, this is a negotiation by member states. It has come a long way, I think, in pushing back against some of the negative, if not actually quite hostile, mean-spirited negative about migrants in particular, founded for the most part in misperception, a kind of mythology about foreigners and so on. And it has brought to the surface particularly the enormous economic benefits of migration, not only for the migrants themselves, but for the host countries, the countries of destination, for the countries of origin, which in many cases are the beneficiaries of remittances, of monies that migrants send back home, huge development factor. So I think this conversation that has taken place, as I said, both at the expert technical level and at the political level, has, I think, contributed to restoring the balance, conscious of the challenges and the negative aspects, particularly of chaotic, ill-managed migration, but at the same time, cognizant of the immense benefit that it produces if it's well handled. Now, what that's going to require now is for this more positive political and technical discourse to be translated in public opinion. I don't think we're there yet.
And what was one of the greatest challenges you and the member states had to overcome during these negotiations?
Well, as I said, it's a negotiation mostly by member states. My office was coordinating all the UN, the various UN agencies who have expertise on migration. So not only IOM, obviously a newcomer into the UN system, UNHCR with its obvious dedication on refugees issues, but ILO with all the expertise on decent work standards and so on, OHCHR on human rights of migrants, UNODC, trafficking, smuggling. So we were there mobilizing all the knowledge in the UN system to feed in to the member states' discussions about what their existing obligations are and what we think the avenues of progress could be. So the challenge for us was to make sure that we were there to support this process going forward. And of course, for member states, that's what negotiations are about. It's the search for a kind of highest level common ground in a document that, you know, this is not a treaty. So to some extent, we kept trying to push back against fixation on particular language and so on. This is member states negotiating globally an agreement to cooperate. And it's in that spirit, I think, that they came to the negotiation table. And I think it's in that spirit that we will, I think, see this global compact come to life.
And finally, what would be your message for the general public, people who are not policymakers and people who are not migrants, about this compact and its significance?
Well, I think what I would like to say to the general public is pause for a second and reflect on the fact that people have crossed borders. We're talking here about international migration, not people moving within their own country. International migration has been with us forever. It's been overwhelmingly, when you look at it globally, a very positive story, both of human interaction. Our societies have changed, grown, and developed very positively from the interchange we've had with each other amongst communities. There's no question it poses a lot of challenges. It's very challenging for the people who uproot themselves. Their motivations for doing so are extremely complex. It's very unhelpful to label everybody who's not a refugee an economic migrant, as though all of them, the 258 million migrants in the world today, are just people in the pursuit, in the kind of greedy pursuit of more economic benefits. People move to rejoin their families, they move to better themselves intellectually, to pursue education opportunities. They move sometimes out of utter desperation about the possibility for their own future, the future of their children. So I think it's really important for people to understand that migration is a thing. It's not a good thing, it's not a bad thing. It's a phenomenon that's been part of human history. It will be with us, possibly, I would say probably, in increasing numbers. There's going to be more of us on the planet, more means of communications, more means of transportation, and it's in everybody's interest to bring safe, orderly means of facilitating that, and therefore reducing the kind of chaotic, irregular fashion in which people find themselves in vulnerable situation. So order is, I think, the objective here. It's not a question of facilitating or reducing migration. That's not the point. This is for countries to determine what, in their own public interest, their migration policies could do or should be. The key is more international cooperation to facilitate the enforcement of national policies so that it's a win-win for the countries of origin, transit, destination, for the migrants themselves. And if it requires people having a slightly more open mind about communities receiving foreigners, they should just remember that's been part of our history and collectively to our benefit so far.